Hi there.
Hey, what's up, man? How are you doing? Sorry about that.
Oh, by the way, I'll wave hello, but normally I chatted audio only.
Oh, do you want to just do that instead?
Yeah, so just there's a little video camera kind of just to the left to the lower middle of the screen. Just click on that. Turns it off. Just helps ensure we don't get into bandwidth troubles.
Cool, man. That's fine.
Awesome. Well, hey, if you have any questions, happy to answer them. Otherwise, we can just get started.
Yeah, jump in, man. Do your thing. Maybe just give me a quick background, on what Berkeley's doing and what you do with Berkeley and why you're kind of reaching out to alumni.
I'm a full-time associate professor in the liberal arts department. My fields are economics and math. I've been full-time for the past 2 years. We're supposed to do a project that involves, quote, service to the profession, some sort of research or something like that. So I figured I'd research alumni who have good non-music careers. So far, I've done two presentations on my findings earlier this year. You can get to the presentations through otherberkeleygrads.com or otherberkeleyalumni.com. And so far, I'm building this library. I know the music business department has linked to it because there have been a good number of their majors. And gradually, it's being more integrated into the college. The Career Center's aware of it. Institute for Contemporary Entrepreneurship's aware of it. As you can imagine, the more interviews that are in the library, the more impressive a resource it becomes.
Okay.
Did that
Yeah,
answer your
absolutely.
question?
Yeah, it makes sense. Yep.
Okay, cool. All right. So if you're ready, we'll get started.
Yeah, let's do it, man.
All right. Let's start with your year of graduation, including if it was spring, fall, and your major.
Let's see. I believe I graduated it so long ago. I think it was 2008 is when I officially graduated. I like walked, I think a little earlier than that. My principal instrument was drums, and my major was in songwriting.
Songwriting, very nice. Okay, we will get to your history later, but for now, tell us about your current job. What do you do? Where do you do it?
So I work for a company, it's called Spot Hero. It's a mobile parking app. And I work in San Francisco. I run the Bay Area.
Gotcha. Can you talk a little bit about Spot Hero, like, is a startup, well-established company, about how many employees?
It's mid stage right now. It's kind of still a startup, even though we have around, I got it, at this point, we have around 200 employees. When I started, it was, I think, at like 70. The company itself, it's very similar to what Hotels.com does for hotels or what Groupon does for restaurants. We essentially we connect online consumers with parking garages, essentially, and we help them book parking in advance through a mobile app and pay in advance. So they know what price they're going to pay. They know exactly where they're going to park when they're going into the city. And then also we help operators, parking operators, help to market their garages to online consumers. So instead of people having to drive up or wander around the city looking for parking, operators can put an aggressive rate on our app to help attract people to park at their garage.
Sure. Hey, can I ask? I'm a little curious. Like, what's the re who's the customer knows? Where does the company's revenue come from? Are parking garages paying for the privilege? Do people pay a subscription? Do parking garages offer a certain price, then you just mark it up? What? How's the company actually get revenue?
It's totally free for consumers to use, and it's totally free for operators to work with Spot Hero. We just keep 15% of any revenue that we bring in. So it's a marketing fee. So we just keep a certain percentage of
Got it.
whatever revenue that we bring to the operator.
Makes perfect sense. Great. And I'm sorry, what's your exact title?
My exact title is an account executive.
That's sales, correct?
Yep, exactly. I mean, what I do is sales is just a fraction of what I do, but that's my official title.
Oh, go on. Let's hear sort of what your responsibilities entail.
Well, yeah, I run the Bay Area. I'm the only employee in the entire Bay Area. We have a regional GM who's in Sacramento, and then we have my counterpart who runs LA.
Now,
I
when you
guess
say
he,
you
yeah.
run the, and you live in the Bay Area as well.
Yep. So when I say I run it, I handle operations. We do have a small team that assists me who's based out of our headquarters in Chicago. But I'll be doing operational stuff. I'll be doing sales, account management. I'll be working with our customer service team to ensure that, the customer experience is great. I'll be working with our marketing team to ensure that, certain locations are marketed for different events. So there's a lot of different,
Now, would you,
hats that I'm wearing.
cool. Would you say operations? I mean, if you're the only person there, what's the operation?
Yeah, so I mean, like, I'll go actually install signage. I'll help bring signage over to operators. I'll help set up what we call integrations so that our system can integrate or can basically sync up with their whatever revenue control systems they have on site. So, for example, like if a garage has a scanner, when someone goes to park at their garage, I'll work with our tech team to ensure that when you book a spot here reservation, you'll get a QR code and you can use that QR code on the scanner at that garage. So kind of like, behind the scenes operational stuff to ensure that everything's functioning properly and the locations are like optimized to their fullest potential so that customers have a seamless experience and the operators have a seamless experience as well.
Good. Makes sense. Hey, just curious, because you said you're the one person in San Francisco. Does your company typically have like one person or one or two people in each major metropolitan area then? Is that the business model?
Yeah, as we grow, we're building out different teams in different cities. Our headquarters in Chicago, that's where the majority of our employee base is. We have a pretty sizable office, not sizable but for Spot Hero standards, sizable in New York City, probably like, 10 people. And
Because
then
there's got
actually
to be an office where they do the software and maybe center the customer service. But then I'm thinking, are you all kind of these regional people kind of
Exactly.
keeping the
Yep.
business going?
Yeah. I mean, 95% of the employee base is in Chicago. So that's where we have our customer service team, our tech team, marketing, leadership. And then we have regional offices in San Francisco, Baltimore, DC, New York. That's pretty much it. Then we do have regional teams, though, based out of Chicago that would travel to, say, Boston, or Los Angeles or Vegas or whatever. So yeah, we're still a pretty new company in some ways. So
Okay.
there's a lot of major markets that we're not in yet.
Sure. So you're one of a small number of lone wolves, if we can.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha. Hey, I'm curious. Not going to ask how much you're paid, but I'm a little curious about your pay structure, since it sounds like you do some amount of sales as well as lots of support. Are you on salary? Is there a commission in there? You hourly? How's that whole thing work?
Yeah, so for my position, it's a base salary, and then we have monthly, kind of monthly goals that if you hit, you get what we call variable comp. So kind of like a bonus at the end
Bonus.
of each month. Yep.
If it's a good month, your bonus is what, 20% of your base?
If it's a good month, no, it's much smaller than that. It would be, let's see. Probably 5% at most.
Okay, so a little something that's nice, but not a huge make or break. I'm sure you can.
Exactly, yep.
Sure, you can imagine I've spoken with people who are in, say, software sales where the variable part can be larger than the base.
Oh yeah, exactly. It's definitely it's a very unique, and again, that's why account executive is really probably a poor title for what me and my counterparts actually do
It may be
because
very
it's
realistic, it's just everyone else uses it to mean sales.
Exactly, actually. Yeah, that's a good point. I would say that our base salaries are probably much higher. Yeah, because I mean, right, there are some companies that are going to pay you know, $40,000 a year, and then you could still make $200,000 a year, you know,
Right.
based off whatever commission you're bringing in, at least. I know, yeah, I've friends who their base is tiny, but they just, you know, they make so much in commission that, you know, yes, yeah, so this is very different.
Sure, that makes sense. And let's see, so you said you manage accounts. That I assume means keep in touch with the customers, with the garages, make sure that the business is flowing smoothly.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of relationship building as well. You know, if there's one thing that's very interesting for our industry, which is essentially tech parking, you know, it's very new. You know, technology is very new, like mobile-based apps and stuff are new to the parking world. So there's a lot of just relationship building, a lot of education, a lot of trust. A lot of the operators I work with, I just, you know, I don't want to freak them out, because a lot of them seem kind of parallels between what Uber did to the taxi industry to what, you know, what we're doing to parking.
Except, of course, that Uber brought in a whole bunch of cars and unlicensed vehicles. You're not creating your own garages.
Exactly, and that's what I say.
I
Yeah.
think of you guys more as like, I don't know, like as a Fandango or those places to let you buy movie tickets online so that you don't feel like an idiot showing up to a movie and it's sold out.
Yep. Very, great analogy. But there's still a lot of concerns out there. You know, are we friend or foe? So yeah, it's a lot of just you know, hanging out, drinking beers, making sure we're on the same page.
Okay, yeah, so did I hear you say that part of your job is, however, to drum up new business?
Yep.
So how do you go about that?
You know, really just identifying, like for example, we have something we call TAM, which is total addressable market, which is just understanding, you know, how many garages essentially are or lots are out there in the city, in the Bay Area, and really just kind of hitting them one by one, just educating them on what we can do. You know, at this point, we're growing so rapidly, we become so successful that it's not really a hard sell. It's just more like helping the operator understand, you know, how we can kind of, you know, work with them to bring them more revenue essentially. So yeah, I mean, it's, you know, for me, sales is kind of simple. It's just like identifying, you know, someone who might need our product and going and talking to them essentially is what I do. So.
I was about to ask, like, how you make those contacts. Do you literally just walk in the garage, flash your business card, and
Yeah,
chat?
sometimes you'll walk in, I'll talk to the attendants because the, you know, the decision maker is not typically on site. It's usually like a portfolio owner who, you know, say runs five or six garages.
Sure.
So, you know, if you talk to the attendant, just get an idea of how busy they get. And then and parking people are honestly, and I wasn't super familiar with the parking world before starting at Spot Hero, but they're really just very great people. You know, I never really thought about parking as being part of the hospitality industry, but it really is. So, you know, people are very happy to talk and, you know, talk about any concerns they have, struggles, you know, what works, what doesn't work. So, yeah, just going in, kind of talking to the parking attendants, getting their manager's info, and just saying, you know, setting up a quick meeting to go over what we do. And like I said, luckily, Spot Hero is becoming so well established that they're usually already pretty familiar, or they've already used another, we call them aggregator services. They've already used another aggregator before. So they just look at it as like, hey, it's free marketing. And if you can bring me more business, that's sweet. So let's go with it. There are some, Spot Hero has kind of a different kind of strategy than some of the other aggregators out there. So some operators won't necessarily work with us because of, say, our commission structure, or just some of some of the details within our framework. But yeah, for the most part, it's a pretty easy sell.
Gotcha. And you mind sharing, like, about how many hours a week do you work? I'm sure it varies.
Yeah, I definitely work a lot because, you know, because I am kind of the lone ranger here in the Bay Area. I'd probably say I work probably 60 hours a week, 60 or 70 hours. That's just because, I kind of have to always be available
Sure.
for the operators, and parking really never sleeps. So, so I'll get texts and calls at all hours of the day. Nothing too crazy. It's not like they're calling me at like midnight or anything. But yeah, probably 60 is a typical work week for me.
Sure. And just because you did mention a lot of responsibilities, like how does the time divide between operational stuff and maintaining the current customers and prospecting for new business? And there
At
might have
this
been something
point,
else I missed.
no, at this point, I'd say it's probably 70% account management.
That's talking to the current customers.
Yeah, exactly. Making sure. And I do feel like account management, there are a lot of sales within these existing relationships. Like you could have an operator, where you only have, say, 20 of their locations out of 50. So you're constantly kind of, bringing up new strategies to try and get those other locations. Or you have, you work with one company that's considered an established relationship, but you only work with a fraction of the actual managers. Because a lot of the managers have pretty, they have a lot of independence to kind of run these garages as they want. So, I'll be kind of selling essentially two existing relationships, which I guess is more like farming. But yeah, I mean, some of it is truly, some of it feels like cold sales. Because you just have an operator who just maybe is not interested, or a manager within a certain company that's not interested. So I'd say, yeah, 70% account management, probably like 20% sales, and then 10% extracurricular, operations, customer service, marketing stuff.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Oh, and hey, do you mind taking, I guess we've described some of it, but like, what does your typical day look like? Could you take us through your typical day, or if those vary too much, your typical week?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, I wake up to probably 100 emails, like, and not just like legit emails, but notifications that let me know if a location's sold out, let me know if there's any customer issues going on. Then, like, actual requests from operators. Operators will email me many, many times a day, asking to change rates at certain location, asking for me to put together some, like, maybe some analytics, some projections on, if they were to potentially, start working with a certain location, how much revenue could they get per month off of online consumers? I mean, everything, blocking out a location. For example, like July 4th is coming up, so a lot of operators are messaging me now to make sure that their location's closed. For July 4th, any customers who are already booked need to get, moved to another existing location that will be open. Operators reaching out for marketing requests saying, hey, we have this new garage. We want to market this, say, commuter rate because we know there's offices in the building and our entrance is around the block and they don't see it when they're just driving down the main road. So if there's a way we can really kind of market our garage to those people who work in the area. So I mean, there's a whole, I come into tons of different requests, lots of variety of things that I do in the morning. So yeah, come in, usually to about 100 emails, kind of weed through those, get through those probably around like 10 a.m. I go to the gym every single day, or go for a run at least around 10:30, and that is kind of just to break up, that morning kind of craziness to kind of give myself like some like a moment to breathe. So I usually go to the gym for about 45 minutes, come back, take a really quick lunch, 15 minutes probably. Usually eat at my desk. I do work from home a lot. We also have an office that I do occasionally go to. Then after that, really just grind things out. After I'd say like my lunch break, it's usually just kind of jumping into little projects, like maybe identifying locations that have kind of slipped through the cracks. And reaching out to operators about those, maybe visiting garages, setting up lunches, setting up, drink outings, setting up actual parties for our operators. We work with them so closely. I consider a lot of my clients close friends. So I'm all constantly just kind of setting up, gatherings to kind of keep the relationships fresh and fun. And so, yeah, I mean, does that kind of give you a good idea? It's
Yeah.
a lot of email in the morning, a lot of just kind of like getting through administrative tasks. Definitely a good amount of internal meetings and check-ins with our analysis team. And I have what we call a market liaison who helps me with any customer-facing issues. So maybe occasional call with her, make sure everything's cool. But yeah, I mean, definitely a lot of variety, but definitely in the morning between, say, 8 a.m. and noon is a lot of just getting through a ton of just inbound requests that come my way.
Sure,
And
sure,
luckily,
sure.
we'll probably be hiring someone. So we're going to be building out the team, so eventually, I'll be able to delegate a lot of those
So I
tasks.
assume, yes, that's what I figured. As the team builds out, you'd be the head person for the San Francisco
Yeah, I think that's the goal. Unless we hire someone really awesome, then I'll
team.
lead.
All right, very good. Hey, to qualify for these interviews, you have to enjoy what you do, ideally the job or at least the field. And I definitely could hear it in your voice, but I'd love if you could articulate what is it about what you do that you enjoy.
I think for me, and what's really interesting is I really have no passion for parking. But before Spot Hero, I worked for Zipcar for 7.5 years, and I really into the car sharing model, really into not owning a car. I'm not. I loved the concept of future cities where vehicles really don't even have to exist. I love walking, biking. I really hate what cars do to people's personality. So, I did today. I saw multiple road rage incidents and just people honking, and I'm just like, oh, like. You'd never do that as a pedestrian. So I have absolutely no, interest or passion really in. Actually, I definitely do have an interest now in parking. It's a pretty fascinating industry, but I'm not like, yeah, parking. Let's like make sure parking's awesome.
Fair.
It's something I don't necessarily relate to. But what I do relate to within our company is how we're taking a product or sorry, taking an industry. And making it more efficient, making it more seamless, making it more technologically friendly. And there's a lot of benefits that come from that. I think, we talk about people cruising around in their car searching for parking. If they're booking parking on a mobile app and they can pay in advance and they know exactly where they're going to go from the moment they purchase their reservation, that's going to kind of streamline the journey. They're just going to put that address in Waze. When you
Yeah.
book a spot on Spot Hero, we tell you exactly where the entrance is. We don't tell you like the building. We just say like plug in this entrance, put it in Waze or Google Maps, and you will go directly to the garage. So in addition to
And less
just making
traffic downtown, too.
exactly, yep, less traffic, less cruising, less uncertainty. I do love that our product gives consumers confidence. Not only, do they know what they're going to pay and where they're going to go, but like they know that they're getting probably, the price that they want, in addition to all the other garages. It's kind of like when I go on Amazon and I'm searching for a new vacuum cleaner, I end up searching, I look at like 100 different vacuums and I check the star rating and I compare that with price. I like that we can kind of help consumers do that with parking now, which I think in the past was like, it was kind of, a bit more just archaic. Like I'll never forget, I'm from Vermont originally,
Okay.
and I'll never forget one of the first times I drove to Boston, and I just like once I got in the city, I like freaked out, and I ended up parking at this valet garage like near Faneuil Hall that was like
Oh,
$75 for the day,
yeah.
and I had my like super shitty like Saab 9000, and I was like embarrassed at the condition it was in because everyone else has like a Maserati, and I was like, man, for me like as an 18-year-old. Paying $75, that was crazy.
Yeah,
While
that's a
like,
lot of money. That's a lot of hours at your, work study job or whatever.
yeah, oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Now, I mean, God, you go on Spot Hero app, you could book parking, for $12, in downtown San Francisco at certain times, which is just crazy. So I do like that we give consumers confidence. There is a green aspect. We are making things more efficient. I do really, really enjoy the relationships that I have with our operators. A lot of them are so appreciative that we are kind of connecting what's a very kind of dated industry to a new kind of hip model of service. You know, being able to book on your app, I think it's making people who worked in the parking industry for a long time, they're kind of like, this is cool. Like, you know, parking for a long time wasn't a very sexy industry. Now it's kind of becoming a little bit sexy, you know, maybe not Airbnb or anything, but like, it's kind of cool. And I think that's kind of fun. My relationships make me very, very happy. Like I said, I'm friends with a lot of the people I get to work with. Our team, the Spot Hero team itself, is like another I've ever seen in my life. I've never worked with a group of people, of 200 people almost, that are more enthusiastic, more driven, more intelligent, more kind. Like it is honestly remarkable. It's something that the company takes very, very seriously, is company culture and just drive. And I mean, God, there's like not one person I could even think of that I wouldn't like hang out and have a beer with, or like work, you know, or go to war with, you know, like they're so great. And I, you know, I can't honestly think of any other job I've had. I've had awesome jobs, I feel like, but the people that I work with, are just amazing. And I think it's kind of similar. There's a lot of people I work with who are really into parking. There's a lot of other people who really aren't, but they understand that our team and our product is just incredible. And we know that we're all like lucky to be kind of part of this kind of movement and to be working alongside each other. So that I think is what makes this company like very special. And it's also what makes me really, really kind of enjoy the job. It's a lot of work. There've been some days where I'm just like super stressed out, just kind of a little bit overloaded. But like, you know, once I kind of remind myself of who I get to work with and the support that I have behind me, it makes it all worth it. And as I said before, like, you know, as we build out the team, I think, you know, my hours will probably shift down a bit and things will become even more fun. But yeah, if you do, for the most part, I thoroughly enjoy working for this company. And I can't reiterate enough just how special the people I work with are. It's remarkable.
That's great. So, hey, let's take it back now to 2008 or a little earlier if you want. And, I mean, I'm guessing you weren't thinking, I'm going to go be like the account executive. Is that your title again? Account executive for a parking app.
Yep. Oh, my God.
Probably not. So I'd like us to put us in your headspace as you were finishing Berkeley. And then sort of we'll go through sort of like all the things you did as well as kind of what your headspace was from there to where you are now.
Yeah. So when I graduated, I think the goal was, you know, I had already kind of been working in the service industry a bit, you know, just to kind of pay the bills. And I knew, and one thing
service,
I really appreciate,
like waiting tables.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was like a host and did front door for like a bar by Fenway for a bit. And busing tables. Yeah. So a bunch of different stuff. So I was already doing that just to kind of, just have some cash.
Sure.
On hand and to pay, you know, to gradually kind of be kind of self-sufficient for my parents. And so I already kind of knew. And one thing I really appreciated about Berkeley was, you know, a lot of my professors were super, super upfront that, you know, making money off of music is amazing, but it's tough. You got to work your butt off. And there's a lot of, you know, work involved. But there's a lot of luck too. And I really enjoyed when they were just super transparent that they're like, yo guys, like it didn't happen overnight that I was just getting these awesome gigs or even like, you know, was even capable of becoming a Berkeley professor or teaching lessons, you know, at $50 an hour or whatever. So, you know, go out there and work, like, and if anything, you know, working is going to make music probably even more rewarding, which I found that to be true very quickly. So 2008 hits, I was thinking about moving to New York or Nashville to really pursue songwriting. It just never happened. As I was kind of doing service industry stuff, trying to play gigs, the only problem is I was in an original band. I was like the leader of the band. You know, when you're playing original, shows and playing your own songs, it's hard to make a ton of money off of that. Because, you know, it's all
Celtic. You're in Boston still at this point.
Exactly. Yep. Still in Boston. So,
So you're working basically the kind of 40-ish hours doing, as you say, hosting, waiting, that sort of stuff.
yeah, probably I couldn't do, I was like part-time, so it's probably more like between 25 and 35 hours
Right,
a
and
week.
then throw in a few gigs, and it's
Yeah,
like a full
exactly.
schedule.
Oh yeah, exactly. Well, just, yeah, and just, kind of rallying the troops, the band members to get rehearsals and, practicing and all that stuff. So yeah, oh my God. If you combine music and actual, the service industry stuff, I was probably working like, 90 hours a week or 100
My
hours a week.
God.
So, just like, dude, yeah, a lot of stuff. But yeah, so as, I was really getting sick of the service industry. I was just like, I didn't enjoy kind of at least the restaurants I worked in. That's when I was introduced to Zipcar, which was great because
And I'm sorry, about what time are we talking about? Like how long after graduating?
this, I was, so I started with Zipcar, I think it was 2008. So I think it was like literally like a couple months after I graduated.
Okay, so it didn't take you too long to get sick of
Yeah, exactly.
it.
So, yep, got introduced to Zipcar, and then and that's when I really figured out a way to kind of have a job. Or no, sorry, I'm kind of like stumbling here, but
Well, I was
I
going to say,
basically.
full hold, got introduced, passive voice. How did that happen?
So yeah, my roommate was working part time for them. He said, "Hey, we have like a brand ambassador position." He said, "It's really fun. The company's awesome." He's like, "Every day I basically just kind of go out and do marketing stuff, go to events and just talk about Zipcar." He's like, "Another incredible benefit is that you get 75% off or something, some major percentage off of renting Zipcars or reserving." Which was great for me because I was like, oh, this would be perfect for gigging. I could put my drums, in the back if I need to play drums. I can like load my band members' drums and their amps and stuff into a car, and it'd be super cost effective. And so it just really, it not only became a great source of income, but like it really helped my music career.
Got it. So he basically he well, just make sure I get this straight. He refers you to Zipcar, probably a quick interview, but on his reference, pretty smooth hiring process. You'd been working day jobs anyway, so instead of waiting tables or hosting plus some music, it's now Zipcar plus some music.
Yep, exactly. He referred me to our marketing team, and I just went and interviewed. I think honestly, like, having Berkeley on the resume was very kind of effective because they knew, I mean, they knew probably I'm a hard worker because I practiced drums and songwriting, hours and hours a day, and they also knew I was probably pretty creative, and also probably pretty laid back, and also like, probably a good teammate in the sense that I, worked with a lot of different bands and, just kind of being able to work together with different people and accept different ideas. And I think in general, I'm a pretty friendly guy too. So,
Was your
so yeah, I
roommate a
got,
Berkeley guy, by the way?
yep, he was a Berkeley guy. Yep.
Cool. All right, so you go to Zipcar. You're still like, you're doing some music, but it's an improvement on the day job. Hey, do you mind sharing what they were paying you as you started off with them?
Oh, what was, I think I started at like, I want to say like 15 or $16 an hour.
So, well, you're not getting rich, but certainly well above minimum wage.
It was, I mean, compared to what I was making, as a busser, it was great. It was probably, I think when I was like, working in the service industry as like a host or a busser or whatever, I was making like, like 10 or $12 an hour or something. And then you occasionally get tips, but it was not, it wasn't anything
Right,
substantial.
so it's an improvement.
Absolutely.
And sounds like you enjoyed it.
It was a very, very fun job and a great team of people to work with.
You mentioned earlier that you were there for, was it 6.5 years?
Yeah, I think 7.5 years.
Well, was it all doing the same role, or did you move up and
I moved up a lot. I mean, so I started as a brand ambassador. From there, I got promoted to a marketing coordinator, which kind of turned into this account management role for B2B clients. And then from account management, I went up to account executive role. through, and then from a county executive role, like I got the opportunity to transfer from Boston out to San Francisco.
To be an account executive in San Francisco.
Yep, exactly, yep.
And account executive, is that pretty much like the job you're doing now?
It's kind of similar in that there's a lot of account management qualities to that position. But it was definitely probably like 50-50 account management, you know, 50% sales. It wasn't, you know, right now what I do is, again, it's not really a sales position, I'd say.
Sure. And was that also as pretty much a salary? Did that have a large commission component?
Yep, it was a base salary and then a pretty significant commission component. Probably, you know, probably like 20 to 30% of your base.
If you don't want to, it's fine, but do you mind sharing sort of by the end there what you were making with Zipcar?
No, I'd rather not say.
No worries. No worries at all. But I imagine it was a substantial improvement anyway.
Oh, yeah, dude. I was very, very comfortable. Again, coming, I couldn't believe how comfortable it was compared to, like, again, being like a busser or something. You know?
Sure. Hey, I do have one question, though, which is, was there some point there? Because when you've started, right, you're like, okay, you're doing the music thing up with that work, and then, you know, you had your day job to pay the bills. That's not uncommon for people who end up outside of music, but that's also extremely common for people who are in music, mm-hmm. right? And I get the impression that there probably was some point in there where you sort of said, okay, my real career here's with Zipcar or doing something else like that.
I actually became more optimistic about my musical career after becoming financially stable. Because after I started with Zipcar, you know, I was with bands that actually kind of toured. I was in Cleveland a decent amount, playing like pretty legit shows. While I was Zipcar, I played with, you know, a wedding band that also did originals. We played at the Hatch Show. We got to play Earth Fest. We got to play some legit, you know, very legit shows.
Sure.
I also felt like for my own music, you know, my own passion for music, my own projects, you know, I had the money to be able to buy, you know, to be able to buy my new version of Logic or buy a new computer or buy a cool microphone. Also, you know, have money to go into a professional studio if I really wanted to. So I felt like, you know, when I finally had a very financially stable job, it kind of opened up more opportunities for me musically.
Sure.
And it reduced a lot of anxiety, which, you know, which can very, very easily get in the way of the creative process. You know, when I was kind of just like being a busser and doing the service industry thing, I felt like that took up, you know, I'd come back from, you know, work and just be so exhausted. I wouldn't really want to go to band rehearsal or whatever. I'd just be so just done with the day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, kind of working with a job that was more, you know, when I started with Zipcar, it was a lot more just creative. It wasn't as labor intensive on your body. So it was very easy for me to get out of work and be like, oh, sweet, I got band rehearsal tonight, you know. So I found that having, you know, I guess a day job really helped to kind of make me a bit more musically inspired, and not only creatively, but like, you know, professionally, you know, whether it's like, you know, pushing a band to actually, you know, play really legit shows rather than just playing like All Asia every, you know, Monday or something. which is great. That's a good venue. Yeah.
It sounds almost like you'd always envisioned like having the music side to your career and the non-music side to your career.
I wouldn't say like I always envisioned it, but I definitely was always open to it. And again, I think that's what came, and that came from the professors that I had being constantly just transparent, you know. From day one, I felt like at Berkeley, they were like, hey, you know, get a day job. Like, you know, like make sure that you're surviving. Make sure like you're living comfortably. And if you can find a way to really kind of cohesively, you know, bring in music as well, then you know, you'll be in a great situation. So yeah, definitely not like I didn't always have that mindset. You know, I think when I really first started, I was like, oh, I'm going to become a, you know, famous songwriter, and I'll live in LA and I'll just make like $10,000 a song, and that's what I'll do every day and all year. But you know, I think by the end of it, it was like, oh, cool, I can actually have a day job that's has nothing to do with music. And if anything, it might actually help me appreciate music more. It might make me more creative, and it'll give me some, you know, the financial ability, to, you know, abilities to do things that I might not be able to do if I was purely just making money off of music. So that was kind of like a shift in mind.
Hey, that's an awesome response. And then, hey, could you just describe your transition from Zipcar, where clearly you'd worked your way up to a very large position, to your current?
Yeah.
So assume you started in your current position.
Yeah, at Spot Hero, you mean?
Spot Hero, yeah.
Yeah, yep. So I mean, it basically, you know, when I transferred from Boston to San Francisco through Zipcar, it was just for adventure.
And
you know,
I by the way,
that was 2.5 years ago. So that was January 2015. Okay. Right before you guys got crushed by that giant snowstorm.
Good planning.
So I was just like, yes, you know. And so I actually never been to San Francisco, but you know, I just was looking for something new, some adventure. At that point I had lived in Boston for 10 years, almost exactly to the day. And I was like, hey, Zipcar, you know, I know there's a position available, like I'll take it. And they're like, cool, you got it. And I mean, it was so quick. It just like happened. So I moved out here. I never even visited San Francisco, and I arrived in January, and I worked, let's see, out of the San Francisco office for probably like, I guess like a year and a half,
okay,
maybe. And then at one point I just, you know, San Francisco is such a, just a thriving city, right now with all the tech companies, and you know, it's definitely a very expensive city, but there's just a lot of opportunities. So, you know, through LinkedIn, you know, I'm just constantly getting recruiters and or job offers, essentially, or people wanting to just talk to me about potentially joining their companies. And I was like, hey, you know what? It's been 7.5 years at Zipcar. This has been my entire like professional career has pretty much been at this company. I felt like I was kind of plateauing, and I just was like, hey, let's hear what some of these other companies have to say. And
so recruiters are reaching out to you.
Yeah, exactly. And our head of sales at Spot Hero contacted me directly on LinkedIn. We started chatting. He's like this surfer guy from California, and so I instantly just connected with his laid back attitude. He was just like the way he speaks. He's just a really cool guy.
Cool.
And I was like, well, this is interesting. I'm like, you got this kind of, you know, high up dude at Spot Hero who honestly could be a great friend, just like the nature of his personality. And so I kind of, you know, talked to a bit more people, some more people about the position, and everyone I spoke to was just so incredible and enthusiastic. And I was like, you know what, maybe this is the sign for me to kind of, kind of change my career path and try a different company. So it was a very pleasant transition, bittersweet for Zipcar, but awesome nonetheless.
Sure. And just checking, were you the first account executive in San Francisco, or did they have somebody leave who they were replacing?
So they had a small team based out of Chicago that had been growing the San Francisco market, that essentially had launched it. And that was kind of their job. They would go to different markets that were basically untouched, and essentially, you know, they launched them. They'd, you know, start up a couple locations. So I came in and essentially absorbed the responsibilities of a small team. Yep.
So you were like the first person there, and then they're off to some other place.
Exactly. Yeah. They would fly in maybe like a couple times a month or once a month to just like, you know, have meetings or whatever, check on things, and then go back right back to Chicago, or go to a different market, go to LA or something.
Sure. Excellent. So, hey, let's move on to the third part of the interview of three. So my first question for you is, you certainly alluded to this at least earlier on in your career, but let's say these days, 2017, What is your relationship with music?
Yeah, I mean, probably I'm more excited than ever right now musically. I work with a co-writer who's based out of New York City. He writes lyrics. We actually worked at Zipcar together. He came up to me and said, "Hey, I heard you went to Berkeley." He's like, "I really want to try writing lyrics. I heard that you're a songwriter." He's like, "Would you like to collaborate?" And so we started writing together, and he would just send over, whatever lyrics he came up with, I'd try to write music to it. And it got to a point, and this is kind of a new project for us, but we actually have an investor that essentially pays for us to go record our songs at
Wow.
really professional studios, and then we try and shop them. And so, I mean, the reason I'd say I'm so excited, I mean, the song we just finished, we just recorded at a place called Fantasy Studios in Berkeley, California, and that's where Green Day did Dookie. That's where Journey did all their hits. I mean, the roster of clients that they have is just insane. The studio itself is like nothing I've ever seen. I mean, they've got rooms that could fill that an entire orchestra could fit in. They do, film scoring for tons of, major movies. And so it's just been cool to kind of interact with their engineers over there who are super professional and super well established. And then also just be in these studios, recording vocals where Billy Joe, recorded, Dookie. It's just super exciting. And for me, what I really love about it is just the professional approach that we're taking with this project. My co-writer, he we copyright everything. We're like considered a legit artist, in the BMI world. He
Wow.
handles social media. We'll probably be doing some music videos and professional photos soon. There's even like a fashion component where he like wears crazy outfits and he actually has us playing in a couple clubs in New York City. And this is again a pretty new project, but as far as just like, doing music as professionally as we can, this is by far the this is like been the pinnacle of my music career as far as doing something that could probably make me a decent amount of money and make me kind of feel like a truly, professional artist
Yeah,
in the world of music. So,
that's terrific.
yeah, man, yeah, it's really cool.
Just curious, are you is this sort of like where your music energies are all at the moment, or do you still gig or?
Yeah, no, when I moved to San Francisco, it was kind of sad. I liquidated everything. So I sold my drums, a lot of my music equipment. My biggest regret was selling my cymbals that I had since I was like third grade or something, some of these like vintage cymbals. But one thing I noticed when I moved here was like I felt really refreshed not owning tons of stuff. And so I haven't played drums in probably like 2.5 years, but I really enjoy like just primarily focusing on songwriting and production. So I work primarily, just on my laptop, using synthetic instruments, which I know can be taboo for some people. And then, and just kind of creating a really good production and bringing that to the studio and kind of, enhancing that. So I
Yeah,
don't
well,
gig.
technically you were a songwriting major, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I definitely don't gig and I don't miss it, honestly. Like before I left for San Francisco, I was, again, playing in that band that was kind of like half cover band or half cover band, half like original band. But we played a lot of weddings and stuff. And I enjoyed it. It was fun, but I really don't miss lugging my drums around. I don't miss like the gig atmosphere. I think in like I'm kind of a shy person in some ways when it comes to music. Like as much as I like being on stage and performing, like I actually don't really enjoy like people like watching me play drums, or even like singing or doing whatever.
Okay.
So I kind of like just being at home and being artistic and creative and then working with a collaborator to create like a really professional, polished kind of product. And then, I always say to my co-writer, I'm like, dude, I'm just here to write the music. You can do whatever you want. Like, so I don't have to worry about, selling the song or making the song look good, on the music video or whatever. I'm here to kind of just write the music, which is honestly, which I've discovered is what I really, really enjoy doing.
Yeah, and I guess you could say that having a really good day job gives you the freedom to do what you really enjoy doing.
Yep, absolutely.
Cool. Okay, so hey, I'd like you to, thinking about your current job, the spot hero part, not the songwriting part, and thinking back to your Berkeley education, I'd say relative to going to some random liberal arts school, is there anything that you feel your Berkeley experience did particularly well to prepare you for your current job?
Yeah, I think, I guess I don't know if it's something that I would have just been doing naturally, like whether I went to Berkeley or any other school. But I do think that Berkeley, I mean, from day one, I definitely, sorry, I'm kind of like trying to figure out how to say this. I definitely realized that nothing comes easy. You know, you really have to work hard to get where you want to go. And so that was, I mean, that became very evident. You know, my first couple of weeks at Berkeley, I was like, oh my God, the workload was tremendous. You know, and that, you know, whether it was your training in harmony or just like the drum stuff I was doing alone. But, you know, when I was surrounded by all these amazing musicians and peers, it just became very evident that like this is a great life lesson, is that if you just kind of like work your butt off, like good things will come. So that was definitely something I learned at Berkeley, like work hard, and don't just work, but like, you know, work efficiently, you know, be smart about how you work, like think about it. Don't just like go through the drills, like really focus on what you're doing, because, you know, if like, I'll never forget like conducting class. It was like the one class that I had such a hard time. I think I got a D. It was so bad. And it was one of those things where I was just like going through the motions, you know, every night kind of practicing for my midterm exam. And I wasn't really, really absorbing what I was doing. And then of course I get to the midterm exam and I totally just, I flubbed it. And I noticed that it was because of the way I had trained myself. You know, it wasn't like I trained myself like I would when I'm drumming or when I'm writing a song, where I kind of obsess over things. So that was kind of like this, I don't know, kind of philosophical lesson that I learned, which was, you know, if you're going to do it, like do it hard and do it right. As far as just like training, you know, for Spot Hero, it's so weird. I don't know how anyone could literally be trained to do my job without just like coming in and doing it, unless they were working for a parking company, like running the online aggregator, like relationships. So there's nothing like directly, like as far as like what I physically do during the day, like whether, you know, like the tech components that relates. I will say though, like, you know, again, working hard, I think also being collaborative, like, you know, when I kind of got into the songwriting world at Berkeley, you know, when they kind of force you to write songs with other students that you don't even really know, and, you know, and make sure that no matter what, you both kind of come out of that project both happy. I think that's a great like training tool for just like, you know, helping people understand how to be collaborative and empathetic. So those were, I think, some great tools or lessons.
Sure.
You know, God, dude, I'm sure there's more. I'm just kind of like spacing. you know, so, I'm trying to think. Like,
if it comes to you later, we can.
Yeah, I know, dude. I know there's so much at Berkeley that I learned that has contributed to like me becoming, I think, somewhat successful, like, you know, in the real world. but yeah, I think most of it was just philosophical stuff. It's more just like how to kind of, you know, push your mind to you know, being a hard worker, but also like being positive. Actually, that's another great, I think, lesson is, you know, in the music industry, you kind of always want to, you know, be a positive person, because, you know, like no one wants to play with you if you're an asshole. And that totally relates to the work world as well. It doesn't matter how successful you are, how powerful you are within the company. If you're a jerk, then you're not going to be liked, and you might be successful, but for the most part, people aren't going to really want to work with you. So I think a lot of collaborative components are just great, like kind of like attributes to have within the professional, like, you know, work world.
Great.
Sorry, dude, that makes no sense.
No, no, it's all good. No, I get it. That works perfectly well. So, hey, great answer. Let's turn that question around now, because obviously Berklee gives one degree, a Bachelor of Music. You went there knowing that, and, you know, you are still doing songwriting, which is awesome. But when you look back to your Berklee education, even perhaps the context of your post-Berklee experiences, is there anything where you say, you know, hey, would have been really useful to have learned this when I was at Berklee, and they could have taught it to me, and they didn't? Anything missing or inadequate?
I think, yeah, I mean, without becoming just like a straight-out liberal arts school, I think there are some, like, I think general business components that could have been taught, I think, a bit more in depth. You know, I do feel like, you know, a lot of the non like music related criteria was kind of it didn't seem like it was taken very seriously, at least when I was there. And that might have just been like, you know, my classmates or my own kind of mindset as well. But I think I don't know, man. I think, and I'm sure a lot's changed since I was there, but I think most of the lessons that I learned, like I learned more from Berklee going into Spot Hero than I would ever say that if I had worked at Spot Hero, you know, when I was 18, that I could then take to my music career, if that makes sense.
Sure.
But does it? I mean, like, I feel like
Well, it sounds like you do wish that there'd been a little more business component.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. But I'm sure. But my other thing is, you know, it might have been out there. I just maybe didn't take those classes.
Well, they're music business majors, and yet you could say that plenty of people who are not music business majors end up encountering business one way or another.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Yep. I think now more than ever, like, music business probably has to be really kind of a main focus for a lot of students, just knowing the nature of the music industry and the nature of business in general.
Sure. Okay. Well, hey, let's look, you know, looking back at your, what, 9-ish years since Berklee, I mean, you were working some jobs, you figured that the Zipcar job would be an improvement. It was. You did really well for yourself at Zipcar. And then you moved over to, can I call it a cousin industry?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not so. I mean, what I'm saying here is, it sounds like you've been pretty happy doing what you're doing, and you had pretty much a straight shot from a couple months after Berklee to now.
Mm-hmm.
As I'm sure you can imagine, not every Berklee graduate has found that straight road, or even that road period, in terms of, you know, what their career path is going to be. Mm-hmm. And also, there are perhaps people in their last year at Berklee staring out into the big scary world going, oh my God, what happens next? So for either or both of those groups, you get recent grads still trying to find their footing, or people going, what now? What advice do you have?
I'd say definitely, A, don't be selective. Don't be overly selective. Take anything you can get. And if you don't like it, just keep moving on, because at least, you know, you'll develop, you know, even at jobs you hate, I think actually at jobs you hate, you're probably going to learn some of the best skills that you never knew you wanted. Yeah, I think about the service industry. dealing with irate customers was something that was horrible, but became an incredibly awesome skill, later on in my life. And also it was great because it basically taught me, it showed me what I didn't want to do with my life. Like I was like, oh man, I do not want to have to deal with irate customers every single day. So now I know this industry is checked off my list. I don't want to deal with that. So don't be selective. I know when I first started looking for jobs while I was at Berkeley, it was always like, oh, I want to do something with music. I want to work at Guitar Center. I want to do this. And, and I had friends who like worked at Guitar Center just because like you're around musical instruments doesn't mean it's a great job or that you're going to learn a lot. So I think take whatever you can get. If you don't like it, move on. So that's definitely a good mindset to have is, don't be selective. I can't honestly, besides that, I can't think of any other thing, from also just be persistent, and also be optimistic. Like, I'm sure for some people, it's going to take maybe dozens of interviews, dozens of applications, to actually get to a job that you enjoy or a job at all. But it's important to just keep going at it. Like I said, if there's anything I learned at Berkeley, you got to work hard. You got to keep pushing. But also, make sure to do your research. Like, don't just go in there, being like, having a crappy resume. Take the real world as seriously as you take your music. Yeah, I think those are three important things. It's just like, and also, sorry, really elaborate on, be optimistic. Don't get discouraged. Don't feel down if things, are a little difficult. Like, I was really lucky, man. Like, I got a job pretty much instantly. I don't think there was any job I interviewed for that I didn't get in those first few years. I didn't really have to deal with any rejection, but if there's anything I could imagine could be very, very frustrating is, just trying to get a job and being part of the music world and then trying to not only get a job, but a job that's kind of like exotic and is something you maybe won't relate to instantly, but just, reminding yourself that, everything's going to be okay and everything will work out. And so, keeping your head up and pushing through it. And also actually another thing I would say that I learned at Berkeley is I do think musicians are special in a certain way in the world. And I think it's a great mindset to have when you are when you are kind of starting out in a more traditional work environment. And I kind of fed off that. Like when I was in interviews, I noticed when people would see Berkeley on my resume, it almost like made the interview easier. Instead of them wanting to talk about my Excel experience or like how familiar I am with Salesforce or like, what would I do in this sort of sales situation? It turned into a more natural conversation where we talk about Berkeley and we talk about the cool things that we do at that school and the cool like kind of experiences that you have, whether it's like seeing famous people walking down the halls or just working with, famous professors. So I think leveraging that is like definitely a great thing to do when trying to get just a normal job is really leverage the Berkeley brand and the experiences that you're going to have at that school, because a lot of people, when they see the Berkeley name, they get excited. They're going to think that you're some kind of genius, and definitely leverage that because it is a really great school brand. So yeah, dude, sorry. That's a number of things. Be optimistic, be persistent, leverage the Berkeley brand, definitely leverage the fact that musicians are cool and considered very cool to a lot of people. And then also, what was the first one I talked about? Like just being like working butt your
heart. Be willing to try lots of different things.
Yeah. Don't be selective. Yeah. Be very open-minded. Those would be the four main suggestions.
Great. Let's actually zoom in a little bit now, because I think you're my 87th interview.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
Yeah, I know. Not too many people are going to listen to all 87. But you're going in the index probably under account manager. And this idea, right? Your main focus of your job is being in touch with the current clients and perhaps growing the business within that. So my point is, like, who's going to be listening to this interview? The people who clicked on your name next to that field, right? So for people who are like, hey, that sounds pretty cool. Like, it's not as much cold calling, but it's building these relationships, it's knowing the product, working together, collaborative. This seems pretty good. Like, for people interested in going into that sort of role, do you have any specific advice for them?
And this
Either
is
as to how you get.
going directly from Berkeley to an account manager role.
I mean, maybe you're. I mean, hey, your advice might be put in your 5 years doing something else, or. You know what I mean? Someone who sees that and is going, like, hey, that could be cool. In however many years, that would be great to do.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I
So,
think
you,
for
like, you know what? Like, what advice would you have for someone who was thinking about account manager as a real career? You see what I
Yeah,
mean?
it's in, yep, absolutely, yeah. And it's interesting. I'm curious if people literally like look into, they're like, oh, I want to be an account manager, or if it's something that like, they start at a company and they gradually kind of absorb those responsibilities. But I kind of found myself naturally being a good like account manager, account executive, in that I'd say I do enjoy working with people. I like building relationships. I like working with nice people, and I like being nice back to people, which I think is a great quality to have. A lot of like super salesy people can be super aggressive and almost obnoxious in my mind. I've definitely worked with colleagues who are like, they're awesome salespeople, but I'm like, dude, you're crazy, So I think like being patient, being honest is a great quality to have as an account manager. I think, if there's one thing I do, it's, my client is just as important as my company, which, could be a controversial statement, but like, what my client needs is sometimes more important than what my manager needs. And my manager would hate that, but whatever. So that's, I think, a good, and also just kind of do what you know is right. Being moral, I think, is a great quality to have. Being empathetic, understanding, the people that you work with, that, what their frustrations are. So yeah, being patient, also being very, I think, having a sense of urgency, I think, is a great quality to have. It might be something that is kind of maybe seems like a insignificant request from a client, but if you get it done, but to them it might be a big deal. For you it might be insignificant, but to your client it might be a big deal. So if you get it done, you make sure that you consider, their needs to be important, and then I think that it really helps you build those relationships.
And how about in terms of like working your way into an account manager job? Like any specific advice for someone who's like, well, what's step one?
Yeah, the way I did it was, at least at Zipcar, was I kind of just started at the ground, at ground zero. I was a brand ambassador, and that position really helped me kind of understand what consumers need and how our product works. And then from there, I got kind of introduced to our corporate clients, and I kind of had such a great understanding of just how people use Zipcar and how our system worked and what the glitches were, and where were people already frustrated just from the general consumer sector, that when I started with the business, with business clients, I kind of had already been introduced to a lot of, the things that people found frustrating, the things people found awesome. So I think just really understanding the product. And a lot of times when you start at the bottom, you definitely you get more visibility into like every aspect of the company. Like at Zipcar, we had lots of different, lots of turnover at a leadership level. And, we'd hire people who'd come in and they had no idea how Zipcar worked or what car sharing really even was. They were just there to lead. And I felt empowered that I had started as a brand ambassador. I felt like I was better than 95% of the other account executives once I got to that level, because I just knew so much more about the product. So I think not being afraid to just like start at the bottom and work your way up is a great mentality to have. And if anything, it's going to make you a better employee, and you're going to feel smarter because you're going to know more. So you'll probably be a lot more confident at what you do.
Sure. No, great response. Hey, I only have one last question for you, which
yeah,
is
sure.
You have the mic and you're being recorded. So is there anything else you'd like to say? Anything we missed?
No, man. I mean, I think, I look back at Berkeley, I feel super honored that I went to that school. I'm very just content with the experiences I had, whether they're negative or positive. I think the main thing for anyone, graduating soon is to make sure that you kind of hold on to all those experiences and leverage it and make light from every possible experience that you had at school. Cause for me, man, like there were so many amazing things that happened at Berkeley that would have never happened had I gone to just a normal state school. I would have, and also the relationships I had, the people I got to meet, and all those factors, I think, have helped me kind of become the person that I am. And have also, really helped me professionally. So I think it's just kind of live in your life. Don't be scared of anything. And make sure to hold on to every experience that you have and utilize it down the road. Don't forget about anything. It sounds so dumb and cliche, but yeah, that's all I would say is just, make sure that you're kind of very conscious while you're at Berkeley and absorbing as much as you can, because it will definitely help down the road.
All right. Well, hey, thank you so much. I really enjoyed this conversation, Chris.
So, yeah, man. Hey, thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Hey, look for a message from me in the very near future, and best of luck with everything.
All right. Sounds good, Kevin. Thanks.
Have a great day.
All right. Bye-bye.